Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And we are here recording this on the fine day of January the 8th, 2015. And that's significant because on this episode, we're going to talk about the recent Wrestle Kingdom 9 pay-per-view between New Japan Pro Wrestling, Global Force Wrestling, Ring of Honor Wrestling, Mulliken Wrestling, Whitman Wrestling, all the wrestling in the world came together in the Tokyo Dome.
Yes, it did. Not all the wrestling in the world, but a great deal.
A great deal, and some of the best wrestling in the world.
Yeah, some of the best wrestlers in the world.
So let me throw this out. We knew this pay-per-view was coming. It was on our bucket list for 2015.
Yeah.
And I went ahead and pre-ordered it, the 2 a.m., and was going to try to man up and stay up. Didn't happen.
Right.
So I watched a little bit Sunday night and a little bit Monday night because Monday Night Raw, January 5th, 2015, terrible.
That's what they say.
Yeah, that's so they've heard.
Even the talent, I think, has agreed that it was awful.
But as you're listening to this, I just want to share 9 points from an article Global Force Wrestling had on their website at globalforcewrestling.com. And this was 9 reasons to order the replay. And I just want to read these, and we're going to talk about all of this stuff in depth. But Mark, I want to read this list, and you just tell me, agree or disagree, and expound if you want to, on if these are good. If you have not seen this, I'm trying to sell you on getting it.
Oh, yeah. I think if you are a... If you've always wanted to watch Japanese wrestling, but you didn't think the language barrier would be something that you could tolerate, this is the one to watch because Matt Stryker and Jim Ross, I would say Matt Stryker even more so than Jim Ross, very knowledgeable about what was going on. And they told you the backstory that was coming in because I've been watching Japanese wrestling for – since the early 90s.
Yes.
And I don't know a lot about the guys. There's this, like Tanahashi.
Yeah.
I know that in real life, the reason that he achieved a lot of his notoriety was he was kind of a mid-card guy. And he was dating a woman who was a news anchor on one of the big networks over there. And she stabbed him. And it was a big news story. So he was out for a really long time. So when they talked about him having back problems, it's because his girlfriend sliced his back up. And
Jiminy Cricket, I did not know that.
Yeah, and so I know, kind of little things that go into people's backstories and things like that, but you don't know a lot about those guys. And I thought they presented a lot of information to us.
Yes, they did.
And I thought did it very well and very quickly.
Yes, yes. Let's start with number 9. The crowd is one of the reasons to watch this.
Uh-huh.
You agree or disagree?
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't. I don't agree.
Right.
Because the Japanese, if you're used to the American crowd where everybody's chanting and everybody goes crazy for every little thing and they chant "this is awesome" when two people are staring at each other, that's not awesome when two people are staring at each other.
Yeah.
That is a spillover from people that actually know good wrestling.
Yeah.
And they chant "this is awesome" during a great series of spots.
Yeah.
And for some reason that spilled over to the parents who take their kids to see and they think that it's awesome when two people face off with one another.
Now, I agree with you. Except in the when Sting shows up and he stares off at Triple H, I chanted "this is awesome."
I'm not saying there's never a time, but I mean just because you got a couple of near falls, that don't make something awesome.
Right.
My point is, if you're used to that crowd, then you're gonna think, "Wow, this crowd's really dead."
Right.
But they're not.
It's a different crowd.
It's a different style of watching wrestling. They play their part.
Yeah.
They're respectful of what's going on in the ring. They applaud at the right times. They boo at the right times. They cheer the baby faces. They boo the heels. They just have their – that crowd is a much more respectful crowd.
Yeah. Let me go ahead, and this is something I was going to say for later, but this is a good time to add it. In the United States, especially during a tag team match and the partner's getting beat down, the guy on the apron kind of gets the clap and the stomp going, and sometimes it takes and sometimes it doesn't. And like, let's say a wrestler's in the sleeper hold and he starts stomping his foot. He's got, especially like in an indie, a small indie show where there's like 40, 50 people. The guy's trying to get the crowd into it. And sometimes, I don't know if it's because people in North America can't keep a beat, but sometimes it just doesn't go anywhere.
I think that all goes back to caring about the guy that's in the ring, yes. Honestly.
And what I loved about Wrestle Kingdom is the Japanese guy could kind of get fired up and clap one time.
Right.
And the crowd would just pick it up.
Yeah.
And I just thought, man, I would like to just watch a match with these people, you know?
Right, yeah.
With people who have
a
similar
respect.
Taste and a similar appreciation for...
And who treat what's happening in the ring as though it were a legitimate athletic contest.
Yes, we'll definitely talk about that later. Number eight, innovation. And their whole point of that was, how many moves do we see in America that start in Japan? And how many moves did we see on Wrestle Kingdom that we've never seen before that over the next 6 months, guess what? We're going to see them.
Yeah. Most of the offensive moves that you see in the United States today originated.
Yeah.
CM Punk and Daniel Bryan's entire offense.
Yeah.
CM Punk, and I've said it before, I mean, he was Kenta. I mean, he stole a lot of Kenta's moves.
Yes, yes.
And brought them over here and used them. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
I don't
see anything wrong with that. But
yeah.
Daniel Bryan, same way.
Let me ask you, all right, let me chase this rabbit for you. Do you think Daniel Bryan has gotten over in America because he is very much a Japanese wrestler in the sense that shows the fighting spirit, does the kicks, works a Japanese style. Americans aren't used to that. So here's this guy. He's small. He's the underdog.
I think that's got a lot. People love to cheer for the underdog.
Yes.
Especially when they know the underdog is going to win.
Yes, yes.
But does that really make you an underdog if they know you're going to win?
I've been an underdog all my life.
Yes, you have.
Number seven, the ring entrances. What'd you think?
I mean,
that's not what you're watching.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't care.
I do like the. It's very similar to WrestleMania when you turned on that show Sunday night and you saw the setup.
Right.
And which they do the same setup for all their big shows.
Right.
It's the multiple screens, but it's impressive.
It is a real impressive stage that they have. And I mean, that's cool. They got, what I liked about the entrances was, man, if you didn't get you would see guys going back to the dressing room, passing guys coming to the ring.
Yeah.
They were very much like hitting their time cues. And if you hung around too long, then you were just going to have to walk back while somebody was coming to the ring.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very fast-paced show in many ways.
Yeah.
Number six, Matt Stryker.
Yeah, I liked him. I said it earlier, I liked him. I thought sometimes he went a little overboard with wanting you to know how educated he was about
that,
the product.
Yeah.
There was that. But, I mean, he clearly cared enough to learn how to properly pronounce everybody's names.
Yes.
To give you some backstory about everybody. To call the moves by the name.
Yeah.
That's a big deal to me. Yeah. When an announcer cares enough to tell me that's the name of this move, I like that. Because I used to know the names of every move.
Right.
Now I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know the names of all these moves because they don't call them by the name.
Our mental hard drives are almost full as well, Mark. We got to clear out some space.
I got to do some deleting.
Number five, they've listed just the show stealer match, and they, their thoughts were it would be Nakamura versus Ibushi.
Oh, absolutely.
Or Styles versus...
No, it was Nakamura and Ibushi, to me, was the match of the night.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one. And you knew there's such a pride in that style and in Japan that I would say for me, I think there were 11 matches on the card, and there were only two where I didn't feel like they were trying to steal the show.
I think there were 10. I may be.
There was a pre-show that we didn't get. You're absolutely right.
I didn't watch that.
So let's. The next thing is just the wrestlers, and this is a good point. The current New Japan roster is like the '96 Bulls or the '27 Yankees. They're firing on all cylinders. I totally.
Yeah, they
agree
had
with
a
that.
Great. Yeah, they had some great talent.
If you even take out, I think it was so smart to have so many American wrestlers that big time wrestling fans in America were familiar with. That was a little bit of a draw, but you could take out AJ Styles, you could take out Red Dragon, you could take out the American wrestler, and it still would have been a heck of a card.
Yeah, oh, no doubt, yeah.
Number three, the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
I love that faction.
Yeah, they're good, man. And, you know, Cody Hall, yes. Scott Hall's son, just he's a prospect.
He's just joined.
He's a prospect.
Like it's Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, I know. He's
like
a prospect.
Number two, no-brainer here, Jim Ross.
Yeah.
That was an attraction.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. The only thing, here's what it kind of got on my nerves a couple times. Matt Stryker was definitely marking out for working with Jim Ross.
Yes.
He didn't let Jim Ross naturally get to so few things.
I agree.
Slobberknocker. You know that at some point Jim Ross is going to say slobberknocker, but Matt Stryker couldn't help but say, right, hey, would you call that a slobberknocker?
Yeah.
And Ross, yeah, even you could tell in his tone, he was like, oh, why didn't you just let me get there?
Yeah.
Let me get there on my own. And he got better. Clearly, when it started, he felt a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
But by the time he was at the end, he was Jim Ross. I mean, he was the Jim Ross we all know and love. So, yeah, I thought he did a great job.
Yeah. And then last thing, the main event, Tanahashi versus Okada. I thought this, we'll talk about this match more later, but
yeah.
I think that to me, that's worth the price of buying the pay-per-view to see a main event match that was given an hour of pay-per-view time. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, it was good. It was a really, really good match. Not the match of the night, but still.
I agree.
Still
a very good match. Let's run.
There wasn't a bad match on the card.
No, and you didn't see the same match 10 times.
Right.
Very different. Very different. The very first match that was on the pay-per-view was for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champion. Let's stop there. There's junior heavyweight in Japan is huge.
Right. And it's not entirely a weight class.
Correct. And they address that a little bit because they talked about 220 pounds. And then even Mike Stryker said, I don't think it's guys.
Right. Not only that, if you see, and here's a great example, Tiger Mask.
Yes.
Who took the mask off and then another guy took over, and then you have Mitsuhiro Misawa was Tiger Mask. I think he was Tiger Mask 2. It was either Tiger Mask 2 or Tiger Mask 3.
Right.
But I think it was Tiger Mask 2. And if you perform well in the junior heavyweight division and you do what you're supposed to do, it's also a launching pad for moving up to the heavyweight division.
Yes.
And that's what happened with him. He did a very good job as Tiger Mask 2. Takes the mask off, becomes Mitsuhiro Misawa, and he becomes he's a legend. He died in the ring, and he's a legendary over there. His matches with Kenta Kobashi are, for a guy who likes like hard hitting wrestling, they're a dream. And if you've never watched those two guys, man, you are missing out. My point is, it's not entirely a weight class thing. It's also, these are the guys. It's kind of like the X Division in TNA.
Yeah.
These are the guys that 5 or 6 years from now will probably be our main guys.
It's also very similar to NXT tea in the sense that that's where you start.
Right.
If you're a smaller guy, you're going to start out, and if you, like you said, Prince Devitt, or excuse me, Finn Balor started out junior heavyweight and moved up. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, held both titles at the same time, and I don't know that that had been done before. So this first match, I was looking forward to, because I'm a Red Dragon mark. Let me just throw that out there. So you had Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, Red Dragon. They're the junior heavyweight tag team champions and the Ring of Honor champions. I love it.
Kyle O'Reilly is the PWG champion.
So they got a lot of hardware. I love it. And this is what I love about Japanese wrestling. They don't pretend like you don't wrestle anywhere else.
Right.
And so they walk to the ring wearing two belts. And that to me,
that's cool.
It looks goofy, but I like it.
Well, Kyle O'Reilly, man, is a guy. When I've watched him, because I've been watching him for a while now, watching Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. He reminds me of the first time I watched Daniel Bryan wrestle.
Yes.
Bryan Danielson. Yeah. Then ordered some DVDs, and it just had a Bryan Danielson match on it.
Yeah.
And I thought, this guy's kind of goofy looking. And that's exactly what I thought the first time I saw Kyle O'Reilly. This guy's kind of goofy looking. He's kind of small. And then he started doing his thing, and you just forget.
Yeah.
Wow, he's a little bit smaller than everybody. His ears are a little bit bigger than other people's, but man, this guy can go.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of his.
Do you think if I had to name the best salesman in wrestling right now, I would say Kyle O'Reilly.
No.
Who do you think is the best salesman in wrestling?
Probably Dolph Ziggler.
Okay, so let me push back on you a little bit.
But, I mean, that's a broad statement. Who's the best? You know, that's such a broad statement.
Because I agree, Ziggler's a great salesman, but a lot of times when he sells, it's not believable. To me.
Right.
When Kyle O'Reilly sells, I think they've killed that boy.
Right.
I don't ever think that about Dolph. I think Dolph got hit and he cut a flip. That's awesome. Yeah. I appreciate it. But I know that Dolph cut a flip.
Right.
You know. Right. Kyle O'Reilly, and I actually tweeted him after the final battle, and I said, man, Kyle O'Reilly selling like Ricky Morton. And he tweeted me back and said, if Ricky Morton's selling, you know you're buying.
Right.
And I like those guys. So they're wrestling Alex Shelley and Kushida, the Time Splitters, Alex Kozlov and Rocky Romero. That's the Forever Hooligans, was
that? Yeah, something like that.
And then the Young Bucks, Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson. Don't know that there's a more over tag team in the world.
I don't know that there's a better tag team in the world. And I know if you've heard everything that I've ever said, you would think that I would hate those guys. But I don't. I think that they are a phenomenal tag team. They could probably slow down. They could probably sell a little more.
Yeah.
But that's not the style of wrestling anymore.
No.
It's not.
Yeah.
And as much as I may want it to be, and Jim Ross may want it to be, and you may want it to be, and everybody may want it to be, that's not the style anymore.
Right.
The style is what the Young Bucks do.
Yeah.
And if I've said it, I would rather watch two guys like that who are going out there night in, night out, trying to have the best match on the card.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every single time they get in the ring, and they're grinning ear to ear because they're living their dream.
That's right. Absolutely.
Fun. I would rather watch that than some lazy guy who's doing just enough to get by.
Yeah. Whose build is going to always have him a job.
Right, right. He's 280 pounds.
That he doesn't have to work to keep his job because he's got the look.
Right, right. Would I rather watch the Young Bucks or the Big Show? I'd rather watch the Young Bucks all day long.
Yeah, yeah.
All day. And they are the best tag team in the world today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you don't believe me.
Watch them.
Watch them.
Yeah.
That Meltzer driver, I love that move. And it's so simple.
Yeah.
There's nothing spectacular. It just looks impressive.
Yeah.
You're not really doing anything other than a pile driver.
Right.
But it just looks impressive the way they do the double team with flipping over the tire. This is great.
Let's stop right here. This show was started. Our love for wrestling started because of the Rock and Roll Express.
Uh-huh.
Who have got to be on any list of all-time great tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
When the Rock and Roll Express came into Mid-Atlantic, they were doing things nobody had ever done before. Their teamwork, their double team moves. I say that to say this. Are we in the golden age of tag team wrestling?
No.
But as far as, I mean, we're seeing things. We're seeing.
Oh, are we in a great time?
Are we seeing more innovation now?
Yeah, clearly. I mean, the guys are more athletic now.
Right.
And I mean, they're not going out and drinking all night long.
This is true.
I mean, they're not. And they're playing video games. I'm not saying they don't drink or smoke a little dope or pop. I'm sure they do all the things that everybody else
right.
did. But man, they're just more athletic. They take better care of themselves.
Yeah.
You know, most of them are not going to have Ric Flair's 30-something year career.
Right, right.
With the style that they're working, they're going to wind up like Mick Foley retiring in their late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not – Daniel Bryan, you can see the effect that style, CM Punk, the effect of that style.
Yeah.
These guys' careers are just not going to be as long.
Right, right.
But they're also making a lot more money.
This is true. Very, very true.
I mean, I would say some of those guys are not near as big a star as a guy like the Rock and Roll Express probably made a lot more money on that show than the Rock and Roll Express are going to make next month.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, very,
probably,
very
maybe
true.
Next year.
I thought this was a very entertaining match, very fast-paced match.
But you mentioned that. It is refreshing to see tandem moves.
Yes.
I like that. That's just something that WWE, I think, doesn't put a focus on tag teams doing tandem moves. You mentioned the Rock and Roll Express. To me, the Midnight Express are the far superior tag team than the Rock and Roll Express.
I would agree.
If I had to choose between – if you're saying you're going to induct one of these two teams in the Hall of Fame, to me it would be the Midnight Express. Because I feel like they're a better tag team in the innovative. You talked about Rock and Roll Express doing all these innovative tag team.
But a lot of that came from them working with
Midnight. Right, but that came from working with the Midnight Express. And the Midnight Express were the ones that were doing a lot of the tandem moves.
Yeah.
And they were that's not a knock on the Rock and Roll Express.
No, not at all.
I'm a big Rock and Roll Express fan. But Midnight Express was a better tag team.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. There is a point in this match, and I always notice little things.
Somebody's knee pads were crooked.
So there's a point in this match where there's eight guys. So it's for enough referee to maintain control. Just not a chance. But there's a point in this match where there's some fighting going on, and a guy goes for the count.
Wait a minute. There was some fighting going on during a wrestling match.
But there's the
stellar commentary from Heath Mulligan over here. Wow.
Welcome to the Captain Obvious Show.
Where'd you park your squad car, Dick Tracy? wait a minute. There's a wrestling match, and there's some fighting going on. Anyway.
What I meant... But they're fighting in like a cluster. So it's not just like a one-on-one, but there's like...
Would you say it was a cluster?
No, I would not. So the guy makes the count, and it's a two count. And the ref, his vision to the timekeeper is blocked. And the ref makes this extra effort to get around this brawl that's going on, stands up on the second rope, and points to the timekeeper to make sure he knows it was just a two count. I love that. I was just like, why did he do that?
Yeah.
It's like, because why did the Japanese people treat it like a legitimate athletic event? Because the referees treat it like a legitimate athletic event. Because the wrestlers treat it like a legitimate athletic event. Because the media treats it like a
right.
So all of those things, I thought that was a great match. I thought the right team won. I thought that was the I thought that was the best match to start the night off with.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good match to get everybody off their feet and, or on their feet and off their butts. And
it was good.
I loved it, man. I thought it was great. And I just want to reiterate, despite everything you've ever heard me say, yeah, I think the Young Bucks are the best tag team in the world today.
Yeah. I would pay lots of money to see them.
If they're around here at some point.
I mean, in Georgia in February.
By the way, I do have to work that night, but I'm on night shift, so I think I might try to take the night off. Mm. And I'll have to sleep that afternoon, but then we can ride maybe. You got two tickets, right?
I'm working on it.
Oh, I thought you had the tickets.
I was working a Christmas cane.
Well, that's true.
Working on it.
Okay. Well, either way. I mean.
So the second match that we saw, and I'm
By the way, one more thing I wanted to say about that other match.
Yeah.
I love the fact that all four teams had a chance to do their signature moves and get their stuff in. I thought that was cool. They made an effort to make sure everybody shined in that match.
Right. And it was a 13-minute match, and they could have gone – It was the right amount of time. It was the right match for the right time.
Yes.
The right team won. Perfect booking. Would you agree?
I really enjoyed it.
The second match, six-man match, Tenzin, I'm going to butcher these names, and I apologize.
Team New Japan. Team New Japan versus Team Bullet Club? Bad Luck Filet, Jeff Jarrett, and
Takahashi.
Tenzin, Kojima, and Hanma.
This was definitely a come down. Not a long match.
No.
Now, Stryker and JR, they did a great job in this match. Hanma is the guy who they kept putting him over about, man, he's just had this bad luck and a bad losing streak. And then you had Takahashi was like the Japanese guy that had turned his back on.
Right.
And that's who got the guitar shot.
Right.
And I felt the way that they sold me the match.
It was a good story that this guy's been on a losing streak because this other guy turned on him. And then he gets his revenge. That is pro wrestling 101.
Right.
People, I hear all the time, I'll just use him as an example.
Yeah.
Rusev, great heel. Love what he does.
Yeah.
Eventually, somebody's going to beat him.
Yes.
That doesn't mean Rusev got buried. because John Cena beat him.
Right.
That's the logical progression of the story.
Right, right.
That's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
At the end of the story, the bad guy is supposed to lose and the good guy is supposed to be triumphant.
Yes.
That's the way you tell a story.
Yeah.
If every movie that came out ended with the bad guy riding off into the sunset and the good guy laid there dead on the floor, nobody go to the movies.
Right.
That's the story. And just because the heel loses at the end doesn't mean that they got buried.
Right. Mark, you know a little bit of something about wrestling. For me, this match, and again, we didn't know a lot of the backstory on some of these. None of these are thrown together matches.
No.
This is culmination of sometimes a year.
This ain't
in the making.
Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, for no reason, who have been a tag team, and all of a sudden they're not, and then all of a sudden they're fighting, and they didn't tell us why.
Right. That's why we didn't care.
Exactly. That's why I don't care.
Yeah.
Because you didn't tell. After, like, Vince McMahon goes on Steve Austin's podcast and gives this whole, you have to tell people the story, because if it's just a match, then nobody cares. And then they.
Then for the next 3 weeks. The
next 3 weeks, it's just matches with no story, and I don't know, man. I'm concerned about WWE.
Especially after Wrestle Kingdom hit American shores.
I don't know that it's going to. It ain't like all of a sudden all these thousands of people are going to start watching New Japan and not watching.
I have been amazed in Facebook wrestling groups that I'm in, the people that I would think were WWE marks.
Yeah.
Posting and commenting on.
Okay, I get.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about this segment of the population like us.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm talking about regular, normal people. I'm talking about the 15 or 20,000 people that buy the tickets to go to Raw.
Right. They don't know who any of these.
Yeah, you got a crowd of 15,000 people. You got 10 or 1,500, 2,000 people in that crowd like you and me, probably.
Right.
The rest of them's daddy taking his kids.
Yeah.
Because he liked Hulk Hogan when he was a kid.
Yeah. And he's like, I think Hulk Hogan's supposed to be here. Yeah. You know, we came to see the Nature Boy.
Right. There's a large percentage of the crowd at Raw is that.
Right.
You know, it's families who are on their family night, and they don't care as much.
But I felt like for the story they were trying to tell, the progression of the card, again, great booking.
Yeah.
This match did what it was supposed to do. All right. So this next match is an 8-person tag match.
Mm-hmm.
I will say these two matches being back to back kind of blurred together for me. They're both great matches.
Yeah. I thought these two, they were in the right place on the card because clearly they were rushing them to make time to make sure. So I had no problem with them. But this next match, as I wrote notes, I didn't even take any on it. I didn't even write the competitors' names down because this felt like kind of a throwaway match.
It was a throwaway.
It was, let's make sure we get our guys, these guys on the card. But
I want to mention, I think Mikey Nichols and Shane Haast or Haste from Australia. I can't remember the name of their team, but I like they. They were impressive to me. I'd never seen them wrestle before. I would pay to see them wrestle again. Shelton Benjamin, I can't even remember what he did. I can't describe it. But when he did it, I want to ask you this question. Is Shelton Benjamin the greatest athlete in wrestling history?
No, I don't think so.
One of the best were athletes?
Oh, he's a very athletic guy, yeah. I don't deny that. I mean, I don't know what his disconnect with the audience is.
Yeah.
So kind of that Cesaro thing. He seems to have all the tools, but
doesn't have the it yet.
Yeah, there's just something about him. And I'm a Cesaro fan, and I was a Shelton Benjamin fan. I always liked watching him. But he just, there's something missing there.
Yeah. This was just a quick 5-minute match. One of the reasons they did a rematch at the next show, which was a couple of days after this, and the heels got the win back. So that's kind of an ongoing thing. But like I said, just that was one of those thrown in there matches. This next match was followed. Do you recall they called it?
Let me give you a little.
Thank you.
The UWFI.
Yeah.
Was a. They brought in guys like Luthez. This was back years ago. Luthez, Billy Robinson, guys who wrestled a lot in Japan and who were also known to be good shooters. And they were worked. And it was really an early mixed martial arts promotion. But the finish was worked.
Yes.
The matches were full of contact.
Yeah.
But it was a work shoot
promotion,
if that makes sense. If people know what work shoot means.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it was. And it was the precursor to Pancrase, which was kind of a precursor to UFC and Bellator and all these promotions that are out there now. And both of these guys, especially Sakuraba, is a legend in mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
Which shocked me that he, not to spoil it, like I thought he would have won the match.
Yes, I did
because
too.
It was not a shoot. It was a work shoot.
Yes.
So I guess that's why he didn't win. It was about putting the other guy over. But yeah, that's kind of what UWFI was. Vader did some stuff for UWFI. A lot of these guys would go, and it's a full contact. I mean, they were hitting each other.
Yeah.
But the finish is typically a worked finish.
Yeah. He finished him off with a chokehold.
Right.
And leading up to that, he was doing a hip toss headlock chokehold that I've never seen before.
Right.
I thought he was going to kill that poor boy.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've never watched Sakuraba and Pancrase, I would highly recommend getting on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because he fought guys like Rampage Jackson and beat him.
Right.
I mean, this is not like, this ain't a scrub.
No.
This is a guy if UFC was at the height that it's at now, when he was good and he was young and he was in his prime.
He'd be a worldwide name.
Yeah, everybody would know who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's legendary among mixed martial arts fans. He is good.
Yeah. I think it was this match. Matt Stryker had the great quote, "For those who think wrestling is fake."
I don't think he should have said that.
Really?
Nah. I thought sometimes there were a few things he said that I thought were too insider.
Gotcha.
Maybe that's we have to cater to smart fans and they won't mind me saying these types of things.
Gotcha.
And I'm sure that's where he's coming from. Jim Ross was having none of that, and I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked the fact that Ross wouldn't bite.
On a lot of stuff.
On a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, the next match was for the Never Open Weight Championship.
Yeah.
Which is basically kind of their hardcore title. And if you'd never watched, you would assume Makabe, because he wears a chain to the ring, is just a straight up hardcore guy, which is totally not true. Ishii came in as the champion. Makabe beats him for the belt. This was
slobber
knocker.
Like when I heard, matter of fact, it's Mark's snot bubble match of the night.
Oh yes, I agree.
I wrote that down. My snot bubble match of the night. Like I loved when Makabe was coming to the ring. I heard Immigrant Song. And if you don't know,
it was a cover. Yeah.
It was a cover, but it was clearly Immigrant Song. And if you don't know, that was Bruiser Brody's song. That's the song that played when Bruiser Brody came to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And the chain. And I thought, wow, this guy, he must be a Bruiser Brody fan. And then Jim Ross kind of acknowledged, he's listening to Immigrant Song.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that. And it always makes me happy when I pick up on things before, before the announcers.
Yeah.
Have to tell me, because that means the guy's doing his job.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know? Exactly right. And
I really am such a mark that I know that Bruiser Brody came to the ring to Immigrant Song, and not everybody would have known that. So I'm glad they told people.
Yeah. let me stop right there. You mentioned Bruiser Brody. Do you think when you watch Wrestle Kingdom the other night, you just mentioned it, Makabe, a clear Bruiser Brody influence.
Yeah.
Did you see any of that throughout the rest of the card? I mean, Bruiser Brody, I think, to say he's a legend in Japan is one of the biggest understatements I can make.
Well, he's a legend in that up until like him and Hanson, and I would even say Dynamite Kid, and the Funks,
mm-hmm.
you had guys like Luthez and the Destroyer would go over there and they would have matches. Even Hulk Hogan's legendary.
Yeah,
in Japan,
right.
The Road War. Anybody who was big, so he's not like the only
correct
Gaijin who
correct.
Went over there and became a legend. Pretty much anybody who was big and spent a lot of time.
Vader
in Japan.
And
Vader, Big Bam Bam Bigelow, Steve Williams, Terry Gordy, all those guys are legendary because they worked that North American style and then they were able to translate and work the strong style and they gained the respect of. That's why you see a lot of guys, Doc Gallows, I don't blame him for being there. And we'll get to him. And I got a few things I want to say about him.
Okay.
When we get there. But if you're a big guy and you can go to Japan and work that style, you get over with the people.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a fun match. And like I said, Makabe.
I loved it. Yeah, it was.
And Makabe can work with anybody.
Second best match of the night. Maybe the main event was probably a better match. Let me say that.
Right.
But I loved it.
Yeah.
It was my kind of wrestling.
And see, this is what there are types of wrestling that I used to not have a great appreciation for I used to not be a snot bubble guy.
Right.
But I'm a snot bubble guy now because you have helped me learn an appreciation for matches like that, and I'm appreciative.
Well, that's what I try to do here.
The next match was for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title.
Would you say it's fair to say that I've made you a better man?
You've made me a better wrestling fan. Taguchi defending against Bullet Club member Kenny Omega. They did a tremendous job of selling the fact that Taguchi's former tag team partner, Prince Devitt, had turned on him to form and join the Bullet Club. And so that's kind of this underlying storyline.
That since he's not there, Kenny Omega is.
Right. And I thought that
Kenny Omega's got that Brian Pillman haircut.
That's what they said. That's one of my questions. He's got
two different hairdos.
Jim Ross made a lot of Brian Pillman from mm-hmm. personality to wrestling style to the haircut.
Yeah.
Agree or just, I mean.
You know, he's a guy that I'm just kind of getting around to checking out.
Yeah.
And I have listened to some of his interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And he does kind of come across as maybe he's a little bit unhinged.
Yeah.
In some of his interviews, so yeah, I want to find a little more. I don't want to build him up and say he's great, and I don't want to tear him down. The match was good.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm ready to call him as good as Brian Pillman yet.
Right. Right. He did have this crazy look in his eyes.
Yeah.
When he was wrestling, and that was good.
Real cocky.
Right.
Real arrogant. I like
fun
that.
To watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, he and Taguchi were mocking each other. I mean, Taguchi, I don't want to insult anybody. He seemed like
it. Whisper it in my ear, and I'll say.
Well, he seemed. I mean, I want to use the word mechanic with him. Like I don't know a lot about Taguchi, but he seems like a guy. Taguchi, we need to go have a good match with this guy. Okay, I can do that. Like that, he's never going to be.
Right,
he's not going to be your top guy in the company.
Right. I think that's probably safe to say about both of these guys.
Yes.
And it was safe to say about Brian Pillman. I mean, people, that's their role, and there's nothing wrong with that.
You're right. Oh, Mark, you say that all the time, and you're absolutely right.
If everybody's – it's like we're going to do this Hall of Fame show. If everybody's in the Hall of Fame –
It ain't a Hall of Fame.
It's not a Hall of Fame.
It's just a hall.
Right. And if everybody's a main eventer, which now in WWE, everybody's a mid-carder.
Yes.
You know, there's one main event guy, and that's John Cena. Everybody else is a mid-carder, and they bring them up and they use them as they need them, and then they go back to the mid-card.
That's very true.
They've created parity just like in the NFL and just like in college football and basketball. There's parity in wrestling now.
It was very nice. I'm starting to realize WWE is the only company that pretends and has always pretended like they are the only wrestling company in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's refreshing when I watch.
Because I'm sure in their mind, well, they're not the only, they're the only sports entertainment company in the world.
Right.
You know, but, not they're not a pro wrestling company.
But it's refreshing.
Vince McMahon wants to make sure we understand.
But it's refreshing to me to see, for them to tell the story of, hey, Finn Balor, and this is what happened, and man, now he's gone to WWE and he's following it. So they don't sell out a guy because he leaves.
Right.
Ring of Honor has done that with all. Ring of Honor has embraced that.
I watched the Monday Night War thing the other night. And listen, every time you bring this guy up, it just inflames controversy. But there was a thing about the Radicals.
Right.
Jumping from WCW. And they said, and then Perry Saturn, Dean Malenko, and Eddie Guerrero makes this jump. And there was a picture.
Yes.
Of like, and they cut Chris Benoit out of the picture and then overlay. Like, you know, where if somebody didn't like somebody, they'd fold the picture, you know, and fold them out. Like, and that's what they did. And I'm like, he's a scumbag.
Right.
Does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? No, because this is my opinion. Whatever, and there was not a bigger Chris Benoit fan than me, but once you kill a child and a woman, I'm sorry.
Right.
Whatever the reasoning was, whatever was going on in his mind,
right,
he contributed to that by his drug use and his steroid use.
Yes.
And I know he had a lot of concussions. He contributed to that. So it right. doesn't make it okay to kill a woman and a child. So no, you don't get to be in the Hall of Fame.
No, no.
But you also can't act like somebody just didn't exist.
Right.
Which they do
yeah.
with him. And I just wanted to use that as an example of cutting somebody out when they're gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, man. You can... He didn't have to fold the picture over.
But it was like they did that, and then the very next clip they show is he's in the clip.
And they said his name.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, it's weird, man. It's and I thought they forgot to edit that part out. They had to, because everything else was – they took the screen one time when the four of them were walking down and blew the screen up so that he wasn't on it.
Right.
You just see the other thing.
And they didn't mention the fact that just the night before they left, Benoit had won the world title.
Right. Like, none of that. And then all of a sudden, there's this one scene where Jim Ross goes, and there's Chris Benoit. Like,
what? Oh, my goodness. Okay, the next match, you want to talk about this, the regular world heavyweight tag team titles. Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson of the Bullet Club against Gota and Shibata.
Yeah.
This is one of those, not a very long match.
No.
A good match.
Good match.
Serviceable yeah. match.
Right. It did what it was supposed
not
to do.
Not a bit wrong with it.
But the only thing I wanted to say about Doc Gallows
yeah.
was I think WWE dropped the ball on that guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Always. First of all, they gave him that awful, if you don't know, he was Festus of Jesse and Festus. Do you remember that?
That was during
when
the
little
dark
Jesse
days.
Would come to the ring and he run his mouth, and then Festus would just stand there with this goofy look on his face until the bell rang.
Yeah,
and when the bell rang,
he would
let loose and yeah. just start kicking ass.
Yeah,
and then the bell would ring again, and he would go back into this catatonic state.
Oh,
which wasn't a bad if it was done correctly.
Yeah,
with a Paul Heyman.
Right.
This would have been a great 85 Bobby Heenan game,
yeah.
you know what I mean, or
yeah.
Slick, where
yeah.
I found this guy.
Yeah.
you
yeah.
know what I mean? And because
this guy's crazy.
And they would have he's a nut, and because this happened when he was a kid, it's like Pavlov's dog.
Yeah.
For some reason, when the bell rings, he wants to fight.
Yeah.
And you could have told that story, but it didn't translate well into this time. But Doc Gallows was an incredible big man.
Yeah.
And when he would transform.
Yeah.
And he, to his credit, committed 100%
yeah.
to this gimmick.
Yeah.
And I just think they dropped the ball yeah. with it, man.
And then he was also in TNA as part of the Aces and Eights.
Well, he was also in the Straight Edge Society.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because he made the transformation. Punk got him off of the mind-altering drugs that they had him on.
Right.
Which was a great story to tell, man. I thought the Straight Edge Society was a really, really good gimmick. And it just, if for some reason, they just dropped the ball with him, and as they do with a lot of guys who just a great, talented big man.
I agree.
That I think they could have got a main event run out of.
Yeah. I think in anywhere, the Bullet Club, especially Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows here, I don't care where you are, and I don't care what year it is, monster heels. Work.
Yeah. Look at Rusev. If you do it right,
yes.
if you do it right and you commit to it and you don't turn him into a comedy act, a monster heels will always work. The whole Authority Survivor Series team was a monster heel team.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. You talked a lot about Doc Gallows. American fans would be more familiar with him than Carl Anderson. I think Carl Anderson is a throwback.
Yeah, he is.
I think
there's no doubt
he could have made it.
And he's a Carolina boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's from North Carolina.
If you got to see the and I meant to get the Prince Devitt documentary they did about him leaving New Japan. I'm telling you, he's tight. He's really tight with Carl Anderson. I would say they were best friends. And it is a powerful documentary where Carl Anderson, you know, his best friend's leaving. And, like, you see these really big monster heels sitting around the table at the New Japan dojo and, like, crying. And it just it made me a mark for this guy, because here's a guy who, again, you said it before, living his dream with his best friend, making it work, and just I whatever you're selling, I buy it. When you care enough that you're affected emotionally outside the ring. But those guys, man, they're just awesome. I mean, I can't say enough. They're great. And I thought the right team won, and I thought JR does what JR does. He put these guys over. He said, these are childhood friends. They were on the high school wrestling team together.
Oh, yeah.
And that was
a great story.
Oh, my goodness.
And they finally won the big one there again. This is the second time tonight where it was this guy's, can these guys win the big one?
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
And it was, you're right, that whole backstory of these guys growing up together, you know? It was a great story, man.
The next
simple stories.
Yeah.
Simple stories. Things don't have to be so dang complicated.
No.
It's just pro wrestling, man.
Right.
It's not. This ain't Breaking Bad.
No.
It's just pro wrestling. And if you just tell a simple, logical story and then have a good match to back it up, you'll never lose your wrestling fans.
No.
But if you perpetually, continually insult their intelligence and make stipulations that you don't keep, you'll lose them, man.
Yeah.
They will watch something else.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. You were talking about Monday Night War. It was the Russo episode.
Yeah.
And you texted me, said, if you want to know what burying a guy looks like, watch this.
Right.
And I did.
Uh-huh.
And I texted you, and I said, I wonder if Russo, when he's doing these interviews, realizes, oh, this whole show is going to bury me.
Did he know that they're going to be burying me this whole show?
But you talked about
go ahead, I'm sorry.
When stuff doesn't make sense, how fans don't care. And I thought, I'm not a huge Kevin Nash fan.
Right.
And he's just talking about how, you know, they'd go in and he's like, that doesn't make any sense. But that, okay. You know, it got to the point where they didn't care.
Yeah, they didn't care. Because they were getting big money, it was.
And that's what he admitted.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
Listen, Bret Hart said he knew that they were going to go out of business because they were paying Bret Hart millions of dollars.
Yeah.
He said they would fly him in first class.
Yeah.
Put him up in and we're not talking about, they didn't put him up in the Hampton Inn.
Right.
They put him in a nice hotel room.
Yeah.
Send a limousine to get him. Take him to the arena. He'd get there and they'd say, we're not going to do anything with you tonight. Put him back in the limousine, go back the next morning, come get him in a limousine, take him back to the airport, fly him first class back home.
Yeah. That's not a bad gig.
That ain't a bad gig.
No.
Yeah. He said, that's why I didn't argue, because I was pretty much getting paid to do nothing.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. What is not ridiculous was this net match on the card. AJ Styles and Naito. Naito. I did say it right. As AJ Styles is walking to the ring.
Right.
The Styles Clash. We
have the same takeaway from a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. He's walking to the ring and Jim Ross starts talking about, he's broken guys' necks.
Yeah.
Should it be banned? The Styles. Mm-hmm. And what's the finish of the match? Not just a Styles Clash.
Right.
A Styles Clash. Were you looking at the same thing when he's going for that move?
Make sure the guy didn't tuck his head?
Yes.
Yes, I was. I was thinking, God, please do not tuck your head because he'll kill you if he drops you off the second rope.
I thought, and I think you've said it on the show before, that you'd be all right if they banned the move.
I would, yeah. Or at least, I don't, you know.
But I felt like, and this is,
I liked the way that they did that.
I did too. I loved it.
I know some people I read were saying, oh, it was a little bit exploitive and this. That's wrestling, man.
Right.
It's wrestling. You know why they call Killer Kowalski Killer Kowalski?
Yeah.
Do you? Well, tell us, because I'm interested to hear.
But you know, it's because he killed a guy, right?
No.
Oh, well, then I'm right.
No. He knocked a competitor's ear off.
Oh, yes.
Okay. The guy's ear had a big cauliflower, and he dropped a knee on him, and his ear fell off.
Yeah.
Well, the guy went to the hospital, and even back then, Kowalski showed up at the hospital to check on him after hours, and somebody saw him And he laughed. They were laughing and joking because the guy was a cauliflower ear. He didn't do it on purpose. But one of the people working there saw it and thought that Kowalski came up there to mock the fact that he had tore this guy's ear off his head. And they took that,
right,
that story, and they spun it, and they started calling him Killer Kowalski.
Are you saying that the story was embellished?
Believe it or not, yes. Chris Benoit dropped Sabu on his head, broke his neck legitimately, and that's why they started calling him the Crippler.
Wow.
Ox Baker had, not his fault,
mm-hmm,
but has a match with a guy, and after the match, the guy drops dead of a heart attack. Ox Baker's finishing move was a heart punch. So this guy died, and Ox Baker went around telling everybody that he died because he punched him in the heart during their match.
Yeah.
That's wrestling, man.
Yeah.
That's just, it's wrestling.
Yeah. You got to build a myth.
Yeah.
So the whole match, you know the Styles Clash is coming, and he teased it in the opening
moments
of the match. I think.
And they sold it as if he hits this Styles Clash, not only is he going to win the match, this might be the last match of your career.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was great. I had no problem with it.
Again, when the wrestlers understand where their place on the card is, what their role in the company is, or how much time they have for their match, when the wrestlers are given a clear and compelling story to tell, and they have the athletic ability and charisma to tell it, and you have an announcer who cares enough to make you believe the story they're trying to tell, that's when, to me, wrestling transcends what it is. It becomes the suspension of disbelief,
right,
when the planets align. And I just, for me personally, as a wrestling fan, as a 39-year-old man,
watching, who still watches grown men pretend to fight.
Yeah. There were so many times, suspension of disbelief.
I
bought it, hook, line, and sinker.
Me too. Because I will. If you will take me on the ride, I will go on the ride with you.
Yes.
But you have to put, I'm doing my part.
Yes.
I'm here.
I bought a ticket.
I'm ready to watch.
I'm in line.
I just need you to take me on the ride.
Yeah.
That's all. I bought the ticket. You got to take me on the ride.
To me, this match only made AJ a bigger heel.
Oh, yeah.
And all it gives him reason to continue. I mean, he was the official Dub Drop Kick Show Wrestler of the Year for 2014, and I don't see any sign of him slowing down.
I'm going to tell you what, though, this next match, if one of these guys, who, if you'd have just told me his gimmick, I'd tell you that I ain't got no way I'm going to like this guy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what, brother, if he keeps having matches like he had the other night, he's going to be my Wrestler of the Year.
Yes. The next match, semi-main event, IWGP Intercontinental Championship.
Which, novel idea, they treat the Intercontinental title as though it's on the same level as the world title.
Yeah. Matter of fact,
they main evented a pay-per-view a few months back with that.
Right. Was it Wrestle Kingdom last year?
Well, it could have been, but there was 2 months ago.
But the semi-main event was the world title, and the main event was it. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I mean, just a few months back. Yeah.
It's not just a title that changes hands on a random Monday night for no reason.
No. So
you got Nakamura, the champion, versus Ibushi. Nakamura, who is proven, who put over as a legitimate MMA fighter and star, but his gimmick.
His gimmick is
a cross between Freddie Queen and Michael Jackson, as JR put it.
Freddie Mercury of Queen. Yeah, and Michael Jackson. That's who he emulates.
Yeah.
It's weird. You know, it's very
it's awkward.
It is. It's strange.
But it's good.
For Western, you know, if a guy today come out with a Michael Jackson gimmick on WWE or TNA, we would just go, who?
Yeah.
Who thought this was a good idea? But it tells you, if you take a guy, let's say Adam Rose's gimmick, and you put it on a guy, and he's committed to it.
Yeah.
And he's given the opportunity to go out and have really good matches. People will forget about the fact that you walked to the ring dancing like Michael Jackson.
Yes. Yes.
Because I did.
Right. Once the bell rings,
he ain't Michael Jackson.
No. No. Yeah. Ibushi, I've watched him some. To me, if Vince McMahon watched this show and he was going to sign one guy, it would be Ibushi. He's got that build. He's got that look. I don't think he's a bad worker.
No.
He's not in the same class as Nakamura.
No, probably not. But not many people are.
No.
But that guy's a good – this, to me, was the best match of the night.
I agree. I agree with you.
Best match of the night. And just, early contention for me to be one of my best matches of the year.
Yes.
There's a lot of wrestling still got to happen, but it'll be something that I'm talking about on our 2015 show, I think.
Yeah. Ibushi, I think, has a bright future ahead. I think he's going to have a great – he's essentially just getting started. And he's in this spot with Nakamura to – by losing to Nakamura, Ibushi's elevated.
So right.
Just by being in the
right.
ring with
See,
him.
See, there again, just because somebody loses don't mean they got buried.
Right, right. Somebody said the other night, why is Dean Ambrose getting buried? I'm like, the guy main events every show.
Yeah, how does Dean Ambrose bury?
How is Dean Ambrose getting buried?
Yeah.
I said, Shawn Michaels has a losing record at WrestleMania, but he's called Mr. WrestleMania.
Right. There's no Steve Austin lost to Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13 and came out of it a bigger star.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just because somebody loses a match, you don't.
I love it.
So-called smart fans, please stop using terminology that you don't understand.
Yes, please.
I'm not a doctor, and I don't go around using medical terminology. If you don't know what these things mean, please stop saying it. You don't know what kayfabe means,
None.
Even though you think you do.
Yeah.
You don't, you don't know what buried means, even though you think you do.
Yeah.
You just don't know what a lot of this stuff means. You don't know what heat is.
No.
I'm just telling you, you don't know what heat is.
Right.
Just because you Googled it don't mean you know what it means. You may know in theory what it means, but if you want, Zack Ryder got buried.
Yeah.
Okay. Zack Ryder got buried. You know why? Because you don't see him anymore.
Yeah.
And when you do see him, you know he's going to lose in 30 seconds to Rusev.
Yeah.
Dolph Ziggler is not getting buried.
Yeah.
he's not. Please stop saying Dolph Ziggler's getting buried. I'm sick of hearing.
But they fired him, Mark.
They fired him. They fired him on Titus. He's not getting buried. God almighty, if you think they're really getting rid of three guys during WrestleMania season, please stop listening to the Double Dropkick Show.
I had people on Facebook like, man, do y'all think Ziggler's going to sign with TNA?
Yes.
Like,
are you stupid?
They are.
What's Ziggler going to do now? You think he might be going?
That's affecting people's lives.
Somebody's tweeted to him, you should consider going to New Japan Pro Wrestling. If you just saw that pay-per-view, I think your style would he'll be back Monday night. You know what I mean? But he's not. He did not really get fired.
And him getting fired, storyline-wise, didn't bury him. He's in the main event storyline.
Thank you. He was in the ring with John Cena and the Authority, and they addressed him last as, hey, if we're doing this to these other guys, what are we going to do to the guy who beat us?
Yeah.
How is that burying somebody? That's just...
Love it.
Stop using terminology that you don't understand.
Hey, if you don't stop, we'll bury you.
That's right.
Listen, I grew up on a farm.
You want to know.
I know.
You want to, honestly, you said it. If you want to understand what burying is, watch that Monday Night War show on Vince Russo where they buried him for an hour.
Yeah.
That's what burying is.
And Vince Russo... Everything that he said personally only confirmed what everybody else was saying. He says,
Chris Jericho. I loved Chris Jericho's quote. He said, Vince Russo will have 100 ideas and 5 of them will be genius. The problem is he don't know how to tell which ones are genius and which ones ain't. So he does them all.
Yeah. Yeah. One final word on the Nakamura match. If someone asked me to describe him, I don't know that I could, except to say, well, he's got it. Whatever it is, he has got it.
Yeah, it's an intangible, indefinable thing, but he has it.
One way I know he's got it is I know Vince McMahon will look at him and be like, well, that's just not what we're going for.
Right. Yeah.
There you go. All right, so that leads me to this. The main event, Tanahashi and Okada. They put over the fact that these guys have not wrestled a lot. I don't know.
No, but it's always a big match when you do.
Right. And that's another thing I like about New Japan. It feels like they're doing regular cards, but it feels more like UFC in that I don't see George St. Pierre every Monday night. I see when he fights, it's a big deal.
Right.
And so when Okada and Tanahashi are going to wrestle, oh my God. Oh, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
I thought it was amazing, the build to this match. I mean, it's been building for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to be Okada's coronation. I have been watching this entire show. I'm watching, okay, how many titles have changed hands? Because I have already bought the fact Okada's walking out of here the champion.
Right.
Much the same fact, you and I were certain The Undertaker would beat Brock Lesnar last year.
Yeah.
So I am watching this match thinking, well, Okada's going to win.
Especially given that two other times in the night they talked about, can this guy win the big one?
Yes.
And then they talked about it in this match too. Can this guy win the big one?
And the torch is about to be passed, and in all the everything you read
is tonight the coronation of Okada. Yeah. Tanahashi's been the guy.
Yeah.
Now tonight is Okada going to become the guy, and he's going to get his coronation tonight as the champion.
And that was not the. And again,
no.
Now, even though Okada, he lost this match, he didn't lose anything else.
No, except for I didn't like the fact that he cried. I'm not a fan of that.
See, I did like that.
I don't. That don't surprise me.
No, I mean that's the difference between you and I.
Yeah, I hate Tim Tebow for the same reason. I saw him crying when they didn't win a football game, and I just, but I don't. I'm pretty sure Mean Joe Green never cried because they didn't win a football game. Maybe he did, but he dang sure didn't do it on TV.
But to me, okay, so I would.
I ain't never seen Steve Austin cry because he didn't win a match.
I thought, for me, Okada crying was just capped off the storyline.
That he couldn't win the big one.
That he couldn't win, that it's – and to me, that made me – maybe next time. That made me want to watch the next one.
Right.
That's me.
Well, yeah, I definitely want to watch it. I'm not a fan of – the only exception is Ric Flair when he lost. I mean, Ric Flair's the only guy I don't mind seeing cry. And I don't mind a guy crying when he wins.
Right. Right.
But, man, when you lose, you just die.
I'm
just not a fan of it.
Let's talk about these wrestlers. There's, at one point, Okada does a drop kick. He does one drop kick in the match, and JR
And it's beautiful. Yeah.
It is the most beautiful drop kick I've ever seen. And JR says, that's the best. You just saw the best drop kick in the world. And when JR tells you that you just saw the best drop kick in the world,
you're sitting over there believing it's the best drop kick in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you saw it, and Jim Ross told you it was the best.
And he told me. And do you know what I did, Mark? I rewound it and watched it again.
See?
A couple of times. A drop kick.
But that's Jim Ross's gig, man.
Yeah.
I watched something. I was watching the Royal Rumble the other day.
Yeah.
2000. Mick Foley and Cactus Jack and Triple H.
Yeah.
Had their brawl, and then earlier in the evening, the New Age Outlaws and the Acolytes, APA, had a deal. And in both of those matches, it struck me that Jim Ross said A lot of people think the New Age Outlaws are the greatest tag team of all time. Nobody who knows wrestling thinks that the New Age Outlaws are one of the greatest greatest tag team of all time. They don't. I'm not saying they don't have their place in wrestling history. Right. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But they're not the greatest tag team of all time.
No.
But Jim Ross told us they were.
Yeah.
In that match. And then he said Triple H was the greatest technical wrestler of all time. No, he's not.
Right.
He's far from the greatest. No, you think Triple H is the greatest technical wrestler of all time. You've never seen a he's not a top 10 greatest of all time. Just because he's the guy who's telling you that he's one of the greatest.
Right.
And his wife is telling you he's one of the greatest.
That's what they're supposed to do.
That's what they're supposed to do because it's his company.
Right.
So, of course, he's going to tell you he's the greatest of all time. But that was Jim Ross's job.
Yeah.
Was to get the talent over.
Yeah.
And that's a lost art today.
Right.
Contrast that to Monday night.
Yes.
When, Connor and Victor, the Ascension, come out, and they cut the promo about the Road Warrior and whatever. And I got no problem with that. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
They're the new guy, and I guarantee you that Animal wasn't sitting at home throwing stuff at his screen going, how dare they say that about us? It's cheap heat.
Yeah.
Okay. But sometimes when you're initially trying to get somebody over, you got to use a little cheap heat.
Right. And people are talking about them today.
Right. Right.
Otherwise
wouldn't have been talking about them. But JBL, who I love. And I do like the fact that he says this stuff because it entertains me.
Yeah.
But that's not his job.
Right.
His job shouldn't have been to say, these guys couldn't hold the Road Warriors jockstrap.
Yeah, he buried
them. He buried them with his commentary. And then Booker T jumped in and was like, yeah, I've been in a ring with the Road. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have said, these guys got a lot to prove before they can start comparing themselves to the Road Warriors. They got a long road they got to walk.
Yeah.
They definitely should have said that. But for JBL, when he said they couldn't even hold the Road Warrior Hawks jockstrap,
mm-hmm.
or whatever he
luggage
said.
Couldn't carry their
they
luggage.
Couldn't carry their luggage, I thought went a little too far.
Yeah,
whether it is true,
yeah,
you know, but whether it's true or not, I don't, it wasn't his job to bury them on the microphone.
Right.
It should have been to say, these guys are making some bold claims, let's see if they can back it up.
Right. But then they also made a big deal that they were wrestling two no-name jobbers, which we never see two no-name jobbers
anymore.
Right,
but that's wrestling 101, too.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. They should squash people for 6 months.
Yeah.
That's what they should
do. And on the roster, there's nobody. Everybody's a superstar.
Everybody's
so there's nobody to squash.
Everybody's a mid-carder.
Right. There's no Barry Horowitzes.
Right. So they'll do that for a while, and then they'll squash somebody else, and they'll face the Usos or whoever that they wind up. I'm sure it'll probably be Goldust and Stardust to start with.
Yeah.
And then they'll get to the Usos.
Yeah.
That's what should happen.
But
do I like them? No. I don't think they're going to make it.
Do you think on Monday night, was JBL and Booker T, were they being produced? Was there somebody in there?
That was my question. I don't.
Is Vince whispering in JBL's ear telling him to say that, or is JBL saying that? Because that's for an announcer to say something like that on his own, to bury a guy.
Right.
That's pretty big. I don't know. I mean, I think announcers are always produced. Because
here's
they're
the
told so and so's coming in, and this is the angle.
Right, right.
But I don't think anybody was telling JR what to say at the new.
Well, not in the beginning. Oh, at that show, no.
No.
Here's the thing about Jerry Lawler and JBL is you hear all the stories about Vince McMahon yelling at people.
Yeah.
Over the headsets, I don't think he yells at either one of those guys because they'll both just quit.
Yeah.
Michael Cole ain't gonna quit.
Right.
What else is Michael Cole gonna do?
Right.
Lawler and JBL are probably doing this for the same reason me and you come up here every other Thursday,
because
it's a good time to get together with their buddies. And
You
know what I mean? And they go out and they have fun. So he probably says a lot of what he wants to say, because he knows that if they don't like it, he can go back because he's a millionaire.
Yeah, he's pretty
successful. That gimmick is real life. He is very, very good on the stock market. He invested his money very well. And that's why Vince McMahon likes him, I've heard.
Yeah, yeah. Because
like, he was always giving stock tips to people.
Oh.
You know.
So, Okada and Tanahashi, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
About this match. How many different ways can a man do a frog splash in a match?
Boy, they do it, don't they?
He was great, though.
Yeah.
The one to the outside of the ring.
That was incredible.
I watched that with my son last night because I knew we were talking about it today. So I was watching. I said, Drake, get in here. Drake walks in and he sees Tanahashi and he sees, and he's like, Dad, he's not going to. I'm like, watch him. He's like, Dad, there's no way. I'm like, watch him. And Drake, my son, he's seven. Boy, his eyes got big and he popped.
Yeah.
For this guy he had never seen or heard of, because that was, he didn't just jump and give the guy an axe handle.
Right.
He goes about 10, 30, 40 feet.
10, 30, 40.
And does a frog splash.
Yeah.
While the guy's standing. I thought it was great. I thought the one he finished him, I'm not a big frog splash fan. But I thought, if you're going to do six of them in a match, he did them six different ways. Did right. The one where the guys, it was great. These guys don't need me to put them over. But even Stryker said, the one to the outside, he said, they just made JR pop. Like, JR popped up out of his seat.
Yeah.
After he's been there for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is what I love about it. There are these moments. But I do think Stryker jumped in and says, well, dare I say a Wrestle Kingdom moment.
See, and
So let's
that was my issue with him all night. He would do such a good job, and then he would say goofy stuff like it.
So let me sum up and let's just kind of go back and forth, and let me throw some things out. 4 hours, at least 3 hours or more of pure wrestling.
Yeah, oh, I would say more.
Entrance, no, the only match that had a hype video was the main event. And my only complaint of the whole show was that wasn't dubbed over in English.
Yeah, I thought I was with having two guys on English commentary, they could have had somebody write it out, translate it, and
yeah.
And them speak over you.
Because watching that hype video, I didn't understand a word. I didn't understand what they were saying, but I understood what they meant.
Right.
And that was an epic, just the way they built it. And I'm sure every Japanese person watching it is watching that hype video thinking, tonight's Okada's night.
Yeah.
He's walking out of here with the belt. I did think at the beginning, I mean, no disrespect. And maybe it was because he was calling matches for most guys he's never called a match. But I do think JR's lost a step. He kind of got stumbled over his words a couple of times. But again, JR losing a step is still better than everybody else.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I thought he was 1,000 times better than Michael Cole can ever.
Oh, gosh.
And he can defend Michael Cole all he wants to. I get it. That's his buddy. But Michael Cole sucks.
He does suck. He's terrible.
He is awful.
He is, yes, awful.
Let's bury him. He's awful.
I don't think he – I think he buries himself every time he opens his mouth.
Man. He sucks. Whoever thinks that – but the thing is, he can be good. I've heard him – call some matches where he can do, but he's got. I'm getting so much information.
He's so much of a pitch man now.
Yeah, then he doesn't
like. Oh, right hand, and the app is. You can get the app on your iPhone.
If you'd like to watch that right hand again, you can download that app to your smartphone. By.
I thought Matt Stryker did a good job for the most part. I thought for him and JR to be working a New Japan show for the first time together, hit a home run.
Yeah, he did a good job.
He had a home run. Sign these guys. If you're doing three American versions of New Japan, just pay them what they want and get them to do it. We've said this before. They I didn't know very many of these wrestlers, but they made me care about them. They made me care about the storylines, made me care about what was happening. We talked about one thing I love about JR, and this has always been his MO. I remember watching you watch, especially in WCW. He would put guys like Junkyard Dog, Dr. Death, guys that had a legitimate athletic pedigree. JR always put that over, and he did that this entire card. Hey, this guy beat Rampage Jackson. This guy has done this, and this guy. And so he just does, you know. They told me, you know, we talked about this, the tag title change, why that was a big deal. We watched 4 hours of wrestling, Mark. Not one single ref bump.
Yeah, that's true.
Not one ref bump. Anytime there
I think one time a ref got hit, I remember. And he still didn't.
Didn't they no-sold?
Yeah, he no-sold it. I mean, the guy spun around, his legs hit him across the top of the head. He flipped around and hit the ropes and come right back. And he was like,
Can I say something else about the refs? In the very first tag team match, the guys were just coming in and doing their moves and not really tagging. And Stryker says, well, one thing you'll notice about Japanese wrestling, not a lot of the same nuances as American. Basically, you know, you just kind of get in there and do what you're going to do. But I loved how the ref would just I don't understand Japanese, but the ref would be saying, out, 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 out. Or no, 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 no. I just love stuff like that. All the interference for the night, not in every match, but it all made sense. It was all Bullet Club formed, and those guys are over, and Japanese fans hate them. I thought that was good. Not one time during this wrestling show did they insult my intelligence by an unbelievable spot.
When Tanahashi played that phony air guitar at the end, I thought they insulted
my intelligence. See, I had turned it off by then.
Yeah. I mean, like, he walked over, and somebody handed him an imaginary guitar. And he, like, drapes it over his shoulders.
Yeah,
he tunes it up. I mean, he does the whole.
Mark, the man got stabbed. Can you cut him some slack? I thought Stryker did a good job. He explained the fighting spirit. He explained a lot of kickouts on a one count, and he explained. Hey, that guy, is showing the fighting spirit. Again, I thought he did a great job. And then we talked earlier about Japanese fans. I think I like Japanese fans as much as I like Japanese wrestling because, again, they know their role.
They shut their mouth.
That's right. That's what I was going to say. any other thoughts on for me personally, if you told me they were going to do 4 pay-per-views – a year in English, I'd buy them. No questions. I don't even need to know the card. I would buy it. I also feel that I think when August rolls around and the G1 climax, I would love to see us do. I would love to see us do more New Japan stuff.
I would do.
Because you're a New Japan guy. New Japan broke Wahoo's leg. any closing thoughts on
you done? You sure you are? I mean, I don't want to interrupt that little monologue you had going on.
What are you talking about? I talk, then you talk. I got my stuff in. Now you get to get your stuff in.
You've said it all, my friend.
I have not said it. Have I said it all?
You said it all.
Did I do a good job?
You did a great job. You summed it up.
That's what I do. Hey, listen, in case you missed it, we love Wrestle Kingdom. Nah. And we love wrestling, and we love the Japanese people. We love Japanese food. I don't get the whole taking your shoes off at the door bit just yet. We have said this from the beginning. We're coming up. We're about to turn a year old, Mark, which is a milestone. We never want this show to be just me and Mark talking to ourselves in a room.
Well, I kind of do.
But we want you to join the conversation. A lot of this conversation is already taking place on Facebook. two things you can do on Facebook. You can like the Double Dropkick Show page, but also you can join our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With, where we talk about all of this stuff. We talk about old wrestling. We talk about good wrestling. The wrestling we tend not to talk about that is the current product. Mark, Sunday night we watched a great wrestling show.
Right.
And then Monday night, Raw happened.
That's okay. Sunday night we watched a great wrestling show, and Monday, Raw happened. I don't know that we need to say anything else about that.
What could, if Vince and Triple H and the powers that be were watching Wrestle Kingdom?
And I'm sure they were not.
No. Just so. Idiots. Because they would not know good wrestling if it hit them in the face.
I think Triple H would. I really do. I think Triple H has got a pretty high wrestling.
Well,
IQ.
The fact is the number of New Japan stars he's signed.
His ego far outweighs his wrestling IQ is the problem.
This is true. Yeah. I'm mad that I sat through 3 hours of Raw Monday night.
Yeah, me too. It was it was a downer.
Yeah.
I shouldn't feel that way.
No.
At the end of watching it. I should be mad and say I want to see the babyface get theirs next week.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want to see the babyface get revenge on the heel for the way that it ended.
Right.
Or I should be happy because, wow, my guy, you know, he overcame some stuff, and I want to see what happens next week. You know what I mean? But I shouldn't walk away from it going, huh, that was
terrible.
Not even terrible. It was the wrong kind of heat. It wasn't these are horrible people heat.
Yeah.
It was, I'm tired of seeing this, and I just want all this to go away heat.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the wrong kind of heat.
Yeah.
You know, it was, I don't even know that I want to watch this next week kind of heat. And I will. That's the thing. I mean, yeah. I'm a fan, and I'm going to watch it even when it sucks. But
let me ask you this,
it's just
Mark.
Not good right now.
Let me ask you this question. If WWE closed tomorrow, could you and I still do this show? And talk about wrestling?
Yeah, oh, without a doubt, yeah.
And that, to me, is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I want the show to be, that don't give up on – you can give up on WWE without giving up on wrestling.
Oh, yeah, there's – look, we've talked – there's so much good wrestling out there.
But I think you're right. It just – Monday night was – and I think it hurt them, too. The last time they did a firing storyline, John Cena – got terminated, didn't miss a single show.
Right. Yeah, I mean, nobody believes it.
I don't believe you anymore.
I don't believe that you really fired those people.
No. Some people did.
Well, yeah, some people did, but I didn't. And I just, man, I don't know. It was just a downer of a show.
Yeah.
It ended. It was
a downer when Ziggler gets cheated. It was a downer when they brought the Authority back.
It was. That
so
was what
soon.
Started. Because years ago in Memphis, they did a deal. I think it was Austin Idol and Jerry Lawler. And the stipulation was the loser gets their head shaved.
Right.
Jerry Lawler lost, and they just gave him a haircut.
Right.
They didn't shave his head.
Yeah.
And the people revolted because they said – I mean, Memphis was the last territory to
have.
They were doing something right. They were making money. But it hurt their business for a while.
Yeah.
Because people said Jerry Lawler don't live up to his stipulations.
Yeah.
And they quit coming for a while.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt when they brought the Authority back so quick. You don't live up to your stipulations.
Yeah.
You don't honor your stipulations. It should have been honored more than a month. I know they were coming back.
Yes.
Clearly at some point. I'm not stupid. I mean, I've been watching long enough to realize they're coming back. But, man, do you have to bring them back so soon?
Yeah, and
it was the wrong way. It's the wrong way. There should have been.
And I kept waiting for Sting to show up.
Everybody and, did. And keep talking.
Bring this nonsense to an end.
It's just stupid, man.
It is.
Stupid.
It is.
It's an asinine. If this is when they're supposed to be getting good.
Yeah.
Because they're heading into Royal Rumble or WrestleMania is when it's supposed to be fun to be a wrestling fan. And that was not fun.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Fans, we're wrapping up this episode, but I want to go ahead.
Oh, let me ask you this.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Before we do. How long do you think it will, because they haven't done this in a year or two. Mm-hmm. How long will it be, and it may happen this Monday night, that we start Raw with every WWE superstar in the ring, just like they did last Monday, and them say they're going to walk out if things don't change? Because they like to trot that out every year or two.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been done in a year or two.
Yeah.
How long do you think it'll be before that's what happens?
That's a really good question. I don't know.
I don't know either. They may not do it, but that seems to be their go-to get out of
stuff. Here's another question. Is Bad News Barrett in the Authority?
Is Bad News Barrett a babyface or a heel?
I think he's supposed to be a heel, but everybody likes him.
See,
I hate
they don't
that.
Listen to the audience.
No. So here's what I want to tell you. We try not to spend too much time on our show, badmouthing WWE. Why do we do that? Because every single other fan-hosted wrestling podcast, that's all they do. They right. are one trick ponies.
Yeah, that's
ponies.
All they got. Yeah.
You want me to bury somebody? Let me bury some of these crappy wrestling podcasts that I have tried to listen to. Some of them bring on wrestling journalists who have the inside scoop, and they are so full of crap. They are a wrestling journalist like I am an MMA champion. Ridiculous. Oh, my God. But next week on the show, we're going to give Mark the book. If Mark Whitman was in charge of WWE, and I'm going to
wait a minute, we ain't done this yet. So you start announcing it on the show, and then it ain't no good, and we don't play it.
Mark, it will be good. Okay, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. So fans, if you want to know what WrestleMania season should be, and what the SummerSlam main event should be, what fans really want, what would be awesome, you may not even know you want it. We're going to sell it to you. And then if it don't happen, you will revolt. But that's next week. This has been a show talking about Wrestle Kingdom. Good wrestling. Wrestling that reminds us about the wrestling we grew up with. We want to hear from you. We want to hear which match was your favorite from Wrestle Kingdom 9, New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'm on Twitter, at Heath Mulliken. Mark's on Twitter.
At the DDK Show.
And we would love to hear from you. I would at least. I would love to hear from you.
I would love to hear that you've clicked on a banner.
Yes.
If you ain't clicking on a banner, don't send me no damn things.
We have plenty of banners. So, yes, click on them. Support the show. Somebody clicked on a banner, Mark. I don't know if it was you. Somebody bought two pairs of Timberlands.
Wasn't me. So,
whoever
you are, thank you.
Thank you.
Tweet me and
Mark. Yeah. Let him know that we made enough on that. When you click that banner, it paid for one of our wrestling newsletter subscriptions this month.
That's awesome.
It'll buy our drinks at lunch. It'll buy one of our Amish buffets lunch
That's
today.
Great. That's cool, man. Whoever did that, thank you.
Hey, straight up, shoot. Thank you. So, as always, we have enjoyed talking. We love wrestling. We want you to help you love wrestling. So, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.